Amen. Let the church say amen. Amen. Thank God that we are able to come together again. And I know it looks sparse in the auditorium this morning, but nevertheless, we must work do God's will and continue to work on our soul salvation. Amen. Some chose not to be here. That choice is theirs, and it's not ours. So let us proceed with God's work this morning. This morning, the scripture was read for your hearing from the second book of Timothy. The chapter was 3 and the verses was 1 through 5. And let us, before we go any further, let us stop, take a pause, and give God some praises right now. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we have been blessed, O Lord. We have been blessed because you have given us to see another day. You have given us a reasonable portion of our health and our strength. And Father, sometimes that's such a little thing that we just take it for granted, that I'm just supposed to get up each and every morning and I'm supposed to be able to go along my merry way. But without you, O Heavenly Father, without your mercy, your grace, and your love toward us, we would not be able to do that. We thank you this morning, O Lord. We thank you that you put a roof over our heads last night, and for most of us, Father, we went to sleep. And while we slumbered and snored last night, Lord, we didn't know what was going on around us, but you kept us safe and secure. Thank you, Father. Thank you for blessing us and for blessing this congregation here this morning, O Lord. Thank you for blessing those who are in leadership position here, and we pray for them and their families, O Heavenly Father. We pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far and for each and every one that shall take part in the services from this point on. We thank you and pray for their families also, and we pray for each and every member and their family as well. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, and we understand that the numbers are small, but the work is still great, and we are in the field, O Lord, and we just pray that you give us the strength to continue on. We pray this morning, O Heavenly Father, for those that are not among us because they are sick. We pray for a well-being check by you, O Lord, that in your time you would give them their health and their strength back. We pray for those who still may be on their way, that if it be your will, O Lord, that they would get here without any hurt, harm, or danger. We pray for those who are traveling this morning, that they may have safe passage. And we pray for those who have lost loved ones, O Heavenly Father, including in my own family. Father, we just pray, O Heavenly Father, that you strengthen those who are without this morning. We pray for those who are in need this morning. And we pray for those who, O Heavenly Father, are short on fulfilling your will, O Lord. Give them the strength to go on. Then, my Heavenly Father, we pray for those who are serving you in spirit and in truth this morning. We pray for those teachers, those leaders, those preachers, and all of them, O Heavenly Father, that are doing the best that they can do. And we pray, O Heavenly Father, that you continue to strengthen them. We pray this morning, Father, for those who are keeping security around the world, O Lord, that if they continue to in their ways of keeping security, that would keep us all safe, O Lord. But we know we still need you, O Heavenly Father. We thank you this morning and pray and ask you to be with those this morning, Lord, who are raising their children. Be with this world because our children are in trouble, O Lord, and we need you, Lord. Be with the churches everywhere, O Heavenly Father, that the churches could continue to bring the word of God to those who are in need of hearing your word, O Lord. Thank you, Father, that we can reach out to you this morning through the venue of prayer, O Lord. Now, my Heavenly Father, we pray and ask you to be with this congregation, be with each and every member, be with all of those who are here to hear the word of God, O Lord, that we can bring the word of God just the way the Bible teaches us to. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for everything, and it is in the name of your Son, Jesus, we continue to pray and ask it all, because he went to yonder's cross so that we can continue to live on and have everlasting life. This is our prayer, and in his name we ask it all. Amen. This morning from that third chapter of 2 Timothy, and notice the verse number 1 there, starting at verse number 1, it says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." And this morning is where I want to bring the message from. Perilous times are here. Perilous times are here. This morning, the world is so full of bad news, it makes us sometimes wonder if there's anything that anything good left for us to hear. And I understand that sometimes we as Christians, we know that God's will always be done. We understand that the world is full of evil people and people bent on destruction because they don't know anything else. People are so used to evil that we simply shake it off and keep going and saying, oh, well. But Bible studying students, we are aware that things in the Bible have been foretold that these things would come through the word of the scriptures. Who would have thought just a few years ago that things would change the way they have changed so rapidly here? Who would have thought that our ways of life would be affected by the things that we do? Simple things. For instance, you used to get a piece of junk mail and you throw it in the garbage and didn't worry about it. You can't do that anymore. There's threats of identity theft. There's threats on people not taking and stealing their identity. So now we have to shred everything. Or don't throw it away at all. And then you wind up with hordes of paper. But don't worry about it because God knows all about it anyway. Someone stealing someone's personal information is not something that escapes the wrath that will escape the wrath of God. Today, everything that we do, we have to have an eye for what we're doing, and we have to be aware of what we're doing. In today's text, it is a familiar text, and you read again verse number 1, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, feared, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, originally, when I started this, I was going to do all of those individually, but there are 18, and you probably wouldn't give me that much time. So I decided to just kind of be more general about it. But when you think about it, church, there are some things that we as Christians need to observe and some things that we need to do. We need to, number one, we need to get closer to the Lord. There's a warning issued in verse number 1, letting Timothy to know that even in the church there would be perilous times. And perilous times, as I say, to him was coming, but to us, it's here already. There would be perilous times, or if you will, terrible times. And since it occurred back in the early church, no doubt it's occurring even more in our churches today. Be not surprised, church, what may be lurking in the pews next to you. Be not surprised what you may be sitting next to in the pew by you, church. Because in Matthew chapter 13, verses number 47 through about verses number 49, didn't Jesus say to those disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that when it's cast in the sea, it gathers every kind. When it was full, they went to shore and sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but cast the bad away." But then in verse number 49, take note, "So shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just." Don't worry about it, church. Whatever that you see in this world today, it's not going to last forever. It may last our lifetime, but it's not going to last forever. "This know that also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy." Look at that list as the list goes on and on. But as Christians, we need to draw near to the Lord. We need to note that we can't do these things, and we can't tackle these problems all by ourselves. But I suggest to us as Christians that we should not become disillusioned, for it's the Lord's work and we must concentrate on His will and not our will. God will separate the chaff from the wheat. God knows just what to do, and when you look at the descriptions given in verse number 2 through verse number 4. And I'm not talking about anyone here today, and I'm not even talking about this congregation. I'm talking to this congregation, but not about this congregation. I'm simply saying, don't be surprised if you look next to you and find a snake sitting next to you. And I'm not speaking of a physical snake. I'm a reptile snake. I'm speaking of the snake of sin. Oh yeah, you don't know who you're sitting next to no matter where you go, even in the church. There are people that are sitting next to you who claim to be Christians, who claim to be religious, but they're far from being a Christian. And this morning, when you look over and see that snake, it's your reaction on what you must do in order to keep yourself close to the Lord. Many of the church's problems today, we can even say all of the church's problems today are because of sin. Sin and the whole problems that it causes, that sin causes. We have heard that the church is the one and only true church, and we know that Jesus is the one and only Savior that died on yonder's cross, and yet many still love themselves more than they love Him. When man loves his carnal ways more than God's spiritual way, that's self-love. And there are those of us who do. We love ourselves. Oh, you can't tell me I'm not something. You can't tell me that I'm not somebody. You can't tell me that I'm not Mr. Big Stuff. You can't tell me that I should love God more than I love myself, because it's just not so. But then look at the text again. This know that also in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Watch out now. Lovers of their own selves. And when you think about it, church, as I said, I'm not going to do all 18 of these, but I'm going to do a couple of them individually. And lovers of themselves is one. And you must take heed to yourself that you don't become like some of these people. You don't fall into their same trap and be caught up just like they are. Be not dismayed. There is good news, church. For God is still in control. He is not out of business. He is still in the same business of saving souls. He's still in the same business of getting us through our trouble and perilous times. It's so easy for some of us to become discouraged. But God will make it all right. In Psalms chapter 73, around about verse number 2 and 3, look what the psalmist wrote. And this is what happens when one drifts away from God. This is where you may find yourself. When our hearts drift away. He says, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Oh, church, you can get caught up in things if you're not careful. If you take your sight off God, you take your heart away from God and take your heart off God, then you'll get caught up in stuff yourself. It is for the godly to continue to serve the Lord. It is for the godly to continue to instruct those who we don't know and to serve the Lord. But we must learn that we must draw nearer to Him, because there is some good news. Then once we draw nearer to the Lord, we need to learn to pray more. And I know what somebody said, well, Brother Carter, you talk all the time about praying. Well, praying is the only way that we can get to God. I can't pick up my telephone and call Him, and neither can you. I can't email the Lord, but I can pray to Him. How many times have you been tossed and turned because life is not what it used to be? How many times has someone caused you to lose your Christian virtues? And you know exactly what I mean. How many times have they caused you to look the other way and say, I'm not putting up with this any longer? How many times has this happened to you? How many times have you tried to get your communications line open to God, but you just say, I'm just going to handle this all by myself? One of my favorite texts in the Bible is Luke chapter 18 and verse number 1. And this is what I want you to understand this morning. Men ought to always pray and not faint. In other words, Christians are well advised to pray and not pray often, but they're to pray always. Somebody said, well, maybe maybe preach. I can't just be in prayer all the time. And so the question is, why not? Why can't you be in prayer all the time? Why can't you pray? You don't have to fall to your knees every time you pray. That's one position, but you can pray while you're walking. You can pray while you are driving. You can pray while you're sitting down. You can just pray anytime. And that's why the Bible says in Luke 18:1, to pray and faint not, and pray always. Today, with what's going on in the world, there's a constant need to be in prayer. And I know there are those who say, well, what should we be praying for? Well, we should be in prayer for this world's condition. We should be in prayer for our families. We should be in prayer for others. And most of all, we should be in prayer for the church and for the guidance of the church. We should be in prayer for guidance in our own life, that we can navigate through the world navigate through this sin-sick world. When we look at our text, verses 2 through 4, there's a long list of those people who need prayer. Pray for some of them. And I don't want to say anything, but some of us got them living under our own roof. So pray for them. And somebody may ask the question, well, why should I pray for those who wreak havoc on their lives as well as the lives of others? Because the Bible tells us to. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 44, the Bible says, pray for them who despitefully use you and persecute you. Isn't that reason enough to pray for them? I think it is. I think that when you pray, you ought to be sincere in your prayer. Because if you expect God to ask, you must have a little bit of something going on your side in order that God may answer your prayer. And God is not going to always answer your prayer when you think he should answer your prayer. God is going to answer your prayer when he wants to answer your prayer. And some of us have gotten so caught up, we don't understand when he's answering our prayers. Well, I prayed and nothing happened. Well, maybe it did happen. You just didn't see it or didn't catch it. So then we must learn to pray for ourselves as well. Pray that you are not seduced by those ways, to the ways and especially of the world, and especially pray for our young people. Pray for our young people, of whom most of them don't know how to love anyone but themselves, because they come from background of self-lovers and disobedience to their parents. But you've got to let them know that trouble will one day come their way, but Jesus can guide them around a trouble pathway. Tell them how we know Jesus through faith. Tell them how they can also come to know Jesus and learn to walk by faith and not by sight. Let them know that even though we can't see him, we can still trust in him. Don't you trust him? Do you remember what Jesus told his disciples in Gethsemane? This is why I say you should pray for yourself. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 22 and verse number 40, pray that you enter not into temptation. He knew that they were weak and they could fall into temptation. So am I and so are you. If you sit back and say, well, I'm not going to let anything, it ain't going to happen to me. Yes, it might happen to you before it happened to me. Because I got enough sense to know that I can fall just like any other person can. And you've got to know that Jesus, as he instructed those disciples, he told them, pray that you enter not into temptation, because he knew that their minds were weak, but their bodies were weak, but their minds were soft. Pray for yourself once again. Pray for everybody. You know, and I always tell you, I'm going to pray for you whether you pray for me or not. But I ask you to pray for me, because I need prayer just like the rest of us do. All of us need prayer. And then when you think about it, if you don't pray for anything but ask the Lord to send us a cool breeze as hot as it's been, pray for that. Pray that, ask him that your air conditioner keep working through all of this heat. And all of this, because I've talked to people who have fans in their house and they say it's not doing anything, Brother Carter, but blowing hot air. Well, that's all fans do. They circulate the same air that's in the room, so it can't be nothing but hot air if you got a 95-degree day. And I oftentimes wonder how people that live in tropical climates, how they survive, but I guess they get used to it like everything else. I asked my son just a few weeks ago, how do you stand that heat out there where you live at? And he said, well, when it's 110 out here, it's like 90 there. I said, but yeah, even if it's 90, that's still hot. He said, but that's dry heat. I said, that's still heat. And so pray if you can't think of anything to pray for. Pray and ask God to give us some relief. And then in January, pray and ask him that you don't complain about the cold weather. But these are perilous times, and we need to be praying that we fall not into worldly traps and into the world of temptation. And we need to make sure that we are on our prayer best list. In other words, what is my prayer best list? That I pray all the time, and that I pray the best that I can pray when I pray. If you can't think of anybody, anything, or anyone to pray for, pray anyhow. Pray anyhow, because if you remember what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 17 and verse number 18, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. So in other words, pray and give him thanks for whatever it is that you got. Well, I ain't got nothing. Yes, you do. You got life and health. Pray for that. And if you got a sandwich to eat, pray for the sandwich as well. If you don't have nothing but peanut butter, pray for the peanut butter. You know, they say we eat too much red meat anyway. So just pray that God will guide you through this world of temptation that we have out around us today. Thank God that he allowed your body to be here another portion of another day. Thank him that you have shoes on your feet, a shirt on your back, and clothes on your body. I know perilous times are here, and we can't afford not to be in prayer any longer. And somebody said, well, if I don't start praying, what will happen to me? Well, you have closed your line of communication up to the Lord if you don't pray. That's what will happen to you. You haven't got open communication line with the Lord. Then, church, we need the church. We don't need a church. We need the church. We need the church that was preached and taught about during the revival a couple of weeks ago. We need the church that is spoken of in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28, where the Bible says, the one he has purchased with his own blood. We need the church that Jesus Christ took ownership of in Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, upon this rock I will build my church. We need the church that's spoken of in Romans 16 and 16, where the Bible says, salute you one another with a holy kiss. The church of Christ, salute you. And I want to just throw this out while I'm there. A holy kiss. A holy kiss is not me kissing somebody else's wife on her lips. That's not a holy kiss. And I say that because somebody asked me that one time. And I say, that's not a holy kiss when you try to kiss. That's you being sneaky. But I'm going to leave that alone. We need to get with the gospel, church. We need to get the gospel to those who are described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting at verse number 2. We need to preach the gospel to them like Philip did in Acts chapter 8 and verse number 5, where he went to the city of Samaria and preached Christ to the people. The church must teach from God's word to save or attempt to save those who love themselves more than they love God. In our text, we find those people, and I'm just going to read them to you again, starting at verse number 3, because I read verse number 2. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fears, despisers of those that are good. They don't like you, church, if you're good and trying to do right. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Oh, yeah, I can easily get caught up in loving pleasure more than I love God, but I've got to love God. That's what my job is. If I'm going to stay being a Christian, I've got to love the Lord. In order for the church to step up, we must be ready, because these people, some of them are even in the church with you. We've got to be careful that they don't seduce us to their way of thinking. And I tell you something, church, some of us, it's easy to seduce us. Some Christians, I'm not talking about anybody here now, but some Christians are so very easy to be seduced. Sometimes those same people sitting next to you, they're baptized Christians, but they have gone astray. They may have at one time been a good Christian, but they have allowed themselves to go astray. They have allowed themselves to be turned away, to be turned away from the Word of God, and we must turn away from them. You try to drop a scripture on them and you try to teach them, but don't get caught up with them. Because they do have the power to seduce some of us. We as God's church must put ourselves in the position of not only saying we are the Lord's church, and I'm a member of the Lord's one, the one true church, but we must also be willing to show it. And if you can't show it, you're probably not practicing it. But perilous times are here, but that's all the more reason we need to be closer to the Lord. We need to learn to pray always, and we need to make sure our faith is not waning. We need to remember the Lord is able to keep us above Satan if we trust in him, trust in the same Jesus, trust in the same Jesus who faced the temptations of Satan in Matthew chapter 4. Trust in the same Satan who the Pharisees tried to tempt him in Matthew chapter 22. The same Jesus who Judas tried to betray in Matthew 26. But what Judas failed to realize is that Jesus already knew about his plan, and he knows about your plan too. All I'm saying, church, is that in times like these perilous times we're in, we need more than law enforcement on our side. We need the one who brought us grace and truth. Jesus can save us from the type of people in our text. He can even save them as well. And some of us have some of these people, as I said, in our very own homes. You need to tell them about the Master. Tell them that they are a part of these perilous times, and let them know that God is still allowing them to continue on, but the time is winding down, and one day it's going to be too late to find safety. The safety net is not going to be extended forever. The safety net will be drawn up on your life before you know it, and you won't have an opportunity to get caught up in the net of safety. But we must make sure that our light doesn't burn low. And somebody said, well, how can my light burn low? By the way you act toward God. That's how your light burns low. Somebody may say, well, preacher, I'm doing the best that I can. Well, keep on doing the best that you can. Keep on serving the Lord and trying to help others along the way. When you have nothing to realize but perilous times in your life, you need to come to a decision. The realization that the gospel of Christ is alive and well, and that Jesus offers us in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16 the opportunity to come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in our time of need. Jesus has not abandoned us, but he is coming back for us according to Acts chapter 1. And my time is about up, so let me close this out. But the main thing that I want us to remember, church, is this. Have you ever seen that commercial on TV? That commercial on TV with the hamsters where they're singing about get with this or get with that? That's what we must do as Christians. We've got to get with this, the Lord's will, or we've got to stay with that we're in already. And if you're not serving the Lord and serving his will, you must be on the other side. And if you want to stay with that, that's your choice. But I say get with this. So if that be your desire today, we're going to give you the opportunity in just a moment. We're going to give you the opportunity to come forward and just let the church know what you have on your heart. Tell God first and then come forward, ask the church to pray for you. But Brother Carter, things are just so rough on me right now. They're rough on everybody. But that's no excuse. I know there are those who say, well, I don't even have a job anymore. And well, so are there millions of other people without jobs. But that don't mean you give up. I barely have enough money to make ends meet. Well, sometimes your ends are not going to meet even when you have a job. Ends don't always meet. But God can make a way. sometimes it seems the hardest just before the dawn comes, they say. But I tell you something. If you live right, God will make a way. God will take care of you. And oh no, he's not going to add $40,000 or $50,000 to your bank account like we'd like. But he'll make a way that it's possible for you to see your way through whatever you're going through. He may not pull you out of it, but he'll let you see something. Remember Jesus in Gethsemane when he was praying? What did he get? He didn't get the cup to leave him. He got strength to bear the cup. And I realize how hard sometimes it is for us to toe the line, if you will. But we must. Because we are living in these perilous times. We're living in times where we don't know what tomorrow may bring. And I don't mean in terms of religion. We don't know what tomorrow may bring. How many people have lived in their homes for all of these years and then all of a sudden here comes the bank and say, you can't stay here no more? How many times, how many people have lost their automobiles because they couldn't pay for them any longer? How many times have we as Christians decided, I'm not going to serve God anymore? And that's what some Christians have said. I'm not going to serve him anymore. And you ask the question, why would you not want to serve the God that has brought you this far? And then that becomes a personal issue of why you're not going to serve God. But I can give you a thousand reasons why you ought to serve God. I can give you especially enough reasons why you ought to continue to serve God that it may hinge upon your soul in the end. It'll be good for your soul if you serve God. So how do I learn to serve God? You come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But I've already done that. Well, you need to come back to God if you've stepped away from God. And if you stepped away, you need to take that step back toward him. You remember, as I always say, the prodigal son, how that he came back. You need to come back as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.